You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. And I want to say happy anniversary to a special couple out there. And we are very thankful for all that God is doing in their life. And so happy anniversary. We're going to be in Romans chapter 8 once again today. We're talking about the love of God and how available it is, what a blessing it is, and how permanent it is. And so those are some of the things that we're going to be talking about. But also like to say thank you to our friends over at Wyrick Air, Dennis and Carla, and their crew. They do a great, great job of providing air conditioning services throughout all of Brevard County. They're based in Rockledge, Florida, but they travel all the way from Barefoot Bay to Scottsmoor, from the coast over to the western boundary. They go everywhere. Dennis pastors a church over in Geneva, and just a great, great brother. They've been providing professional sales services and repairs for air conditioning and heating for over 50 years. They work primarily in residential settings, but also some light commercial work as well. They do provide emergency service when necessary. And during the summer, you know, that could be very, very important for you in this intense heat. When the heat indices are over 100, air conditioning isn't a luxury. It's a safety situation as well. Wyrick Air gets to their customers as quickly as they can. They always strive to provide them with the best service possible at an affordable price. If you're looking for a great, qualified, and customer-minded agency where they will come out and take care of your problem, they'll give you the best solution at the best possible value. Wyrick Air may be the great resource you're looking for. They're based in Rockledge, Florida. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. And their license number is CAC182-1309. We thank them for being great people, followers of Jesus, and also friends of the Refresh radio program. So today we are going to resume our study in Romans chapter 8. I will begin reading in verse number 31, but we're going to pick up our discussion at verse number 26. It says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" So all of those things are things that we talked about on last Friday's program. Verse number 36 continues that discussion, and it says, "As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, the question from Friday was, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That was in conjunction or in connection with what then shall we say to these things in verse number 31. After listing off all of the different impossibilities of separating believers from the love of Christ, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, it doesn't matter if it's trouble from the outside or trouble in the flesh or trouble in finances or trouble with enemies, whatever it might be, none of that separates us from the love of Jesus. And then Paul goes on in verse number 36 to quote Psalm 44, verse number 22. And there it says, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, I want you to understand, none of that sounds pleasant. Tribulation doesn't. Distress doesn't. Persecution doesn't. Famine, nothing pleasant about that. Being unable to clothe yourself or feed yourself or house yourself, or being in danger or having hostile forces gather, none of that sounds pleasant. None of it sounds desirable. And then Paul goes on to quote Psalm 44:22, and it says, for your sake. For your sake. This is going to sound uncomfortable. Poor choice of words there. But God's purpose is of a higher priority than our comfort is. And a lot of people say, whoa, what are you saying? Well, did you know that there are many things in life that you have to set aside comfort for so that you go and you fulfill a purpose that is of higher value than sleeping till noon? You know, when my kids were growing up, they said, oh, we're going to sleep until noon 30. And now, you know, they have to get up and do whatever they've got to do whenever they get up and do it. It is not that God is looking to see his children treated badly. That's not the point. The point is that God making his love known is willing to do everything to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to hear how much God loves them. And so Paul says, if we are killed all day long, and that doesn't just mean every day. The language in the Greek, it talks about something that is consistently going on. A lot of people think that persecution of believers ended centuries ago. I want you to know that's not the reality. According to the statistics that I've been told, there are more people who were killed for being Christians since 1900 than at any other point in time in history. We just don't hear about it as much because that doesn't make the headlines that many of the news organizations want out there. They think that Christians are the perpetrators. They don't necessarily see Christians as being the persecuted. And I want you to know that for a believer, anything that happens to us in this world is the worst thing that could ever happen to us, because when this world is over and we're spending forever in a sinless environment, an unending environment of holiness and worship in the presence of Jesus, life is going to be phenomenal after that. And so this describes that because they hated Jesus, they hate believers, and even when all of those negative things that we talked about on Friday's program and all of the things we're going to talk about in the programs to come, if all of those things are going on, it still doesn't separate believers from the love of Jesus. And so it says, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Here's one of the titles for God. It is the Lord our shepherd, the Lord my shepherd. And if you read Psalm 23, you understand all of the care and the love and the nurturing that goes on between the shepherd and the sheep. And so for me, my job is not to do the shepherd's job. My job is to stay close to the shepherd. Now, I'm an under shepherd, but I need to be with Jesus, hear from Jesus, spend time with Jesus. I need to go wherever the shepherd goes. And so because of his great love, even if I am walking through unpleasant or adverse conditions, I need to understand the reasoning. I don't necessarily need an explanation about all of the why everything is happening. You know, trust is not doing something because you understand it. Trust is that in spite of the fact that I don't understand, I have peace that passes understanding because I believe in the one who has redeemed my life and written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so here the emphasis is on for your sake, for God's sake, capital Y. It's not for the sake of other people. It is for the sake of the kingdom of God. And from there, verse 37 goes and says this, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So a couple of Wednesday nights ago, a few Wednesday nights ago, we were talking about Pharaoh and his hard-heartedness. And at one point in time, Moses said to him, I'm going to go and I'm going to pray and the plague will stop. But I know that you still don't believe in the Lord yet. And our discussion that night focused on the yet. And what I mean is that there are people who are praying. They're praying for healing. They're praying for provision. They're praying for employment. They're praying for loved ones to get saved. They're praying for missionaries. They're praying for prodigals to come back to faith. And here's the thing, is in spite of the fact that the reality hasn't shown up, we don't put the period there. We add the word yet. And that is, I'm praying for that person to come to faith in Jesus Christ, but they haven't yet. But I'm believing that they're going to. I'm praying that they're going to. And so yet is a powerful, powerful word. Here, the yet has to do with the horrible things that we may experience in this life, but we know and trust our Savior and our Lord that he's working in ways that we may not understand. And so I may not understand the event, but I do understand the one who's in control of my timeline. And that God has promised this, that he always leads his people in triumphal procession. And so the yet here, it says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Not will be. Not after the event is past. In those things, we are more than conquerors. So one of the things that I really try to minimize, I wish I could eliminate it entirely, but I try and minimize complaining in my life. I don't want to be a person that is constantly complaining. I told God several decades ago, I said, God, I don't want to be an angry old man. And he said, then don't be an angry young man. And now I'm 30 some years later, and I still don't want to be an angry old man. You know, the tendency is the closer we get to the finish line, that the more nonsense we don't want to put up with anymore. And, you know, unfortunately, I've seen people who, as life was drawing to a close, they became less and less contented, and they became more complainers or murmurers. And that was difficult to go through. I want to propose to you a different mindset. And that is, before problems happen, while problems are happening, and after problems have been resolved, you are still more than a conqueror. You see, the fact of being a conqueror is not indicative that you've never faced adversity. It is exactly the opposite. It is that we have achieved a spiritual victory through the work of Christ, that everything else is of less value. The outcome has already been resolved. And for that, I am thankful. So several things here. It says in all these things. So, I mean, of that list that we talked about, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, none of that sounds pleasant. But if you're going to go through something, you want to, you know, okay, well, let's not go through more than one. And, you know, if you're going through two, Paul actually writes that in all those things, if it's one, if it's two, if it's all of them, if it's all that and more, it still does not change the reality of our identity in Christ as conquerors, because a conqueror is not a person who is not facing adversity. It is the person who is already victorious and has gained a surpassing victory. Here, the emphasis in that list is on martyrdom, but martyrdom doesn't define, you know, being a martyr doesn't mean that you were defeated. If you're actually a person who is witnessing for Jesus and is facing adversity because of Jesus, or as it says, for your sake, that through him, he has given us a victory that is never going to fail. Victory for believers is an always. So, Monday mornings, don't know about you, not the easiest day in the week for me to function. It is my day to recalibrate, if you will. It's my day to regain my bearings, nurture myself in the Lord, and prepare for everything I've got coming up during the week. But victory is not just a one day a week experience. It is a Sunday through Saturday experience. It is not only all throughout the week. It is in every area of your life. It's not just spiritual victory. It's wholeness. Listen, God wants wholeness in our lives. And so when the enemy attacks, but we're living for Jesus, let's see, what was it that Jim Elliot, I believe is his name, said? He is no fool who would give what he could never keep to gain what he can never lose. Something along those lines. And so he penned those words, and then he was martyred shortly thereafter. But you know, that wasn't the end of the story. That culture that he had tried to reach with the gospel, they ended up becoming believers in Jesus Christ. And it's a great story of God's amazing grace. So even if we are martyred, death does not signify defeat. Our victory is in Christ. And so it says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Love is in the abiding. It gives us security for the believer. And I want to say this, because there is some abuse in the body of Christ as far as the word of God goes, where people want to use the word of God as a license to sin. They trivialize ungodly behavior. And there's kind of this whiplash that goes on between, right now I'm living in victory, and the next day I'm living as if I've never heard of Jesus. I want to encourage you to hold fast to the word of God. Everybody that you know has gone through something. A lot of it is more traumatic than what others have been through. But I want to encourage you, don't lose sight of the one who went to the cross for you, because he has suffered way more on account of my sin and on account of your sin than we've ever suffered for him. He was beaten and crucified and deprived and mocked and all of that sort of stuff. And we get offended if somebody, you know, calls us a Jesus freak, if you want to go back to a song from the 80s or 90s or whatever decade that was from. The love of God causes us to abide in him. I saw something years ago. I didn't look this up, but they did a study, and they found that many of the families that were the closest together, they were not the families that had been challenge free. Many of those families had gone through very intense difficulties. And what it did was it drew the families closer together. Now, there are some really bad things that happen in a fallen world. And there are a lot of families that do not survive real devastating loss. And it's hard. We had, less than a year ago, we had two family members that died within a two-week period of time or three-week period of time. One was expected. One of them was totally unexpected. And one of those families has been through a lot. But they keep their eyes on Jesus. The enemy thinks adversity will break us. But instead, if we will, we can say, you know what? Jesus is guaranteed that we are going to come through this victoriously. And so I'm not going to embrace lawlessness. I'm not going to embrace bitterness. I'm not going to embrace rebellion. Instead, I'm gonna do like Stephen, and I'm gonna keep my eyes open for what God is gonna do. So when He gives me an opportunity to preach the gospel, I'm gonna preach it. If they accept it, I'm gonna glorify them. I'm gonna glorify Jesus. If they reject it, I'm gonna go and experience Jesus. There was a evangelist years ago, and he said this: if they hurt me, Jesus can heal me. If they kill me, I get to go be with Jesus. The truth of the matter is this, is you cannot threaten a Christian with heaven. And so I want you to know today, it you may be going through the trial of your life. It does not mean that you are unloved by God. Instead, I want to remind you of this, that if you will embrace Him and say, God, I trust You, even though I don't understand. You give me a peace that He will make us more than conquerors. That word means to prevail completely. Prevail completely. But this is not an intellectual strategy. It's not something that is accomplished because of your wealth. It says that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. It can only be through Jesus. And so today, close out the program a little bit differently here. If you are going through very difficult seasons, I want to pray that that you will have a yet that says, you know what? It's a very difficult season right now, but because Christ loves me, he's already guaranteed that I'm going to be a victorious conqueror through this. Father, I pray for those who are going through very difficult seasons right now. Lord, I pray that You would make Your love known to them in a great, great way. Lord, that they would realize that You are leading them victoriously. You will make them prevail completely. They are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. God, I thank You for Jesus. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."